Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Can we sing it like this? Oh Lord, I believe. Oh, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Do you believe tonight? If you believe tonight, let me see your hand. Hallelujah. I believe that you do believe because I feel your faith tonight. You can be seated. It's my happy privilege to be back here again with you under the tent. It's always such a glorious privilege and such a thrill to come back and share the gospel with you. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Let Him bless you. Now, we have had quite a number of ministers coming and being in the service with us, for which we're very grateful, very thankful that they would come out here and be with us. They mean a lot to me. Ministers mean a lot to me. When people come that labor in the gospel, that means a lot to me. I appreciate Brother Owens' brother and to some of the people coming from over in Winston-Salem. They've been real faithful to come here and be with us. And these chairs that you see under this tent belongs to Brother Owens. It's hard for me to keep anything, and especially chairs. I see people that are in need, and they mention their need, and then I don't have anything. But anyway, Brother Owens was kind enough to let us have these chairs. The last chairs we had some real expensive chairs, and we felt to give them to an evangelist, and then we was without chairs. But God always meets the needs, and He's been gracious enough to lay it on the heart of Brother Owens to let us use his chairs. The lighting in the chairs are his, and also the platform here. Now, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for every one of you. I appreciate you so much, and you know, it's not cold under here, is it? As a matter of fact, it feels a little bit warm, if anything. But, you know, you don't have to stop having tent meetings in the wintertime. All you got to do is put some heat in the house. If soldiers out on the field in battle can live in tents, and a lot of times they don't have blow heaters, then I know that we can have a revival in a tent when the weather gets a little disagreeable. So then it doesn't bother me at all. Souls should be won in the wintertime just like in the summertime. The gospel should be preached in the wintertime just like in the summertime. Men keep going hunting, keep going fishing. They keep going to ball games. They keep going on their jobs. And so then we ought to stay on the job for Jesus. So it's a wonderful privilege to be here and to see you here with us. There's only two nights left of the meeting. That's tomorrow night and Sunday night. And unless God speaks, that'll be the last two nights. They're setting up things for a meeting in another place down in the southern part of Georgia, where they've asked for us to come numbers of times. And they're wanting our ministry down there. And if nothing happens, we're going to set the tent down there and have a meeting. But in the meantime, we're here tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night. So try to make the best of it. Try to be sure to come out those two nights and tell the others to come out. The Bible teaches that we should go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house of God should be filled up. So then tell them to come out and be with us. I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe Brother Bill Carter's dad's here tonight, isn't he, Bill? I believe I spotted him over here on the right, right here with his two children on the knee. Certainly glad to have him here with us, Brother Cartridge. Before he gave his heart to God, I believe Bill can verify this. Before he gave his heart to God, we was down at Little Bethlehem, and I'd never met him. And one day I was talking to Bill. The Lord's always speaking to us and revealing things to us. And Bill had been praying for his dad to come to the Lord. And I was there, and the Lord spoke to me and told me, said, I'm going to save Bill's dad. I turned around and I said, Bill, I said, you don't have to worry no more. Your dad's coming to God. I said, God's going to save your dad. Is that right, Bill? And so here he is tonight with us, serving the Lord. It's wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful to know the wonderful things of Jesus. Isn't that right? You know, God speaks to you in strange ways. Sometimes he'll tell you, now like this, you know, he'll tell you about a man that's fixing to give his heart to God. And then sometimes it's like things that happen when we spoke about the death of Brother Taylor's mother, whom we'd never met over in Illinois. We were sitting there one day in Tennessee and talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to us, and I said, Brother Taylor, I tell you this because I know that it's your stepmother, and she's not as dear to you as your own mother would be, or I'd hold it back from you, but I said, your mother is fixing to pass away. And I said, according to what I understand, the first of this coming year, I believe it was, I said, she'll pass away. And so it was. She passed away. And she had a little gray car. I said, that little gray car she's got, she's going to give it to you, Brother Taylor. I said, they're going to give it to you. And he said, if they do that, said, it'll have to be a miracle. Said, because they really love that little car. But as it was, she passed away. I remember a woman that mocked it. She stood there and mocked it and laughed about it, you know. But when it happened, it almost caused her to have a heart attack. Because when it happened, somebody run in and said, you know, said, Brother Taylor's mother is dead. And it almost caused her to have a heart attack. It scared her so bad. But nevertheless, the Lord speaks to us about things, and he speaks to you about things. The Bible teaches that my sheep know my voice. A stranger, they won't follow. I want to read just a little bit tonight. Glad to see Brother Godwin here. He's been faithful to come out for a number of nights with us. And we appreciate him so much. I always appreciate those that are in authority. How do you know that ministers are in authority? Always appreciate those that are in authority. The Bible teaches that we should submit ourselves to them, you know, as those that watch for our soul. For they must give an account to God as those that watch for our soul. And we are concerned tonight about your soul. Now, I want to read just a little bit here. And then after this, we'll see if we can talk to you about the Word of the Lord. You've got your Bibles, turn over to St. Matthew's, over to chapter 24. Can you do that? St. Matthew's, chapter 24. Appreciate Brother James Isaac being here with us. He's a wonderful person. I love James. He comes up from Bethlehem, and he's been with us a number of nights, and we appreciate having him here with us. Also, Brother David Allen from out of Charlotte. David's been kind enough and interested enough that he's driven up here to be with us. And he's a very busy man. He doesn't have a lot of time off even at home with his family. And I'm sure that Sister Elvin would like for him to have more time off with her and the family. But he takes time out for Jesus. You know, the Bible teaches that we should take time to be holy. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, say, well, I don't have time, Brother Pike. But the Bible teaches that we should take time to be holy. All right. Here in the 24th chapter of the book of St. Matthew's, beginning at the first verse. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Did you notice the faith that these fellows have here? Now here sits Jesus with them. He's sitting there as a man, talking with his disciples. But they have so much confidence that he is the Christ, though he's a man, They're talking with him. They're so confident that he is the Christ that they ask him, yes, he's never gone away yet. But they ask him, they said, what will be the sign of your coming? In other words, we know you're going away and you're going to return. Now, what will be the sign of your return? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Just a little lengthy in reading the scripture, but a lot of times I take time to read a little scripture because so few people read the scriptures. In their home, it's very seldom that they ever pick up a Bible and get down to reading the scriptures. And so then I take a little time to read the scriptures to encourage people in the Word of God. A lot of times you preach to people or try to preach to people about the Word of God, and they don't even know what you're speaking of. And so then you have to not only preach and explain the Word, but you have to read the Word to give them an indoctrination of the Word before you can ever explain the Word. And so then we read a little bit of the Word from time to time to try to encourage different ones to understand and to believe in the Bible and to read the Bible. Now, if you don't read your Bible, you need to read your Bible. That's one thing you ought to do, is to read your Bible. Take the Word of God and read the Word of God. They used to have a song called Dust on the Bible. Take your Bible, dust it off, get the dust off of the Bible, and put it to work for God. Because unless it's mixed with faith, it won't profit you. The Bible teaches that when the Jews had it, it did not profit them that had it because it was not mixed with faith. And so then if I preach the Word tonight and you don't believe the Word, then it will not profit you. God has sent the Word to the Gentiles and it's across the nation. But very few of them believe it, and because of that, it means that it doth not profit them anything at all. So then when we hear the Word, let's believe the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word still is God, the Word forever shall be God. He's the same to 1,000 generations. He was the Word in the beginning, He was the Word in the day of Elijah, He's the Word in our day and in our children's day tomorrow. If there is a tomorrow, He'll still be the Word. And all we've got to do is put faith in the Word, and the Word will take care of our situation. The Bible said we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. He cast out the unclean spirits by His Word. He sent His Word, and His Word healed them. You understand that God is not a book and God is not a printed page like this. But God has to send the printed page, and this printed page is what God is to every jot and every tittle. This is the volume of the book. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. And this is the volume of the book. So then God is the spiritual Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. He is the words of life and He is the God of the Spirit, which means that He is here in your presence. Now, what God wants to do is to have fellowship with you and have fellowship with me. It's God's desire that we should have fellowship one with another. But see, God being a spirit, and God being the invisible God, there is no way that God can have fellowship with you unless He first sends a preacher to preach God's Word and God's manners and God's way of life and indoctrinate you with the understanding of God. See, the minister must indoctrinate you with God's Word, establish the mind of Christ within you, and then when you get God's mind, then you can communicate with God, and you and God can have fellowship. And that's the purpose of the ministry in the world today. So then it's our desire, when we come here to indoctrinate you with the Word of God, I want to pray for your sick body because I believe that God heals. I want to do something to encourage your spirit when it's cast down, because I believe that God gives joy. And I would ask God to bless you financially because it is God's will that you prosper above all things. But I don't want to come here and use any of these things for a gimmick that they might become a snare unto your soul and a snare unto me, and in the end have to face an angry God. And so then I come here with all simplicity of heart and all sincerity, wanting to try to establish you in the faith and to indoctrinate you with God's Word, that you might understand better tomorrow how to fight Satan and how to escape the evils of Satan. The Bible teaches that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. We're not ignorant of them. We know what he does and we know when he's at work, and we can tell it. We're not ignorant of it. And we want you to be in a position to where you are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. You love Jesus? Now, I've got some things to say to you tonight, and I hope that I'll be able to say them. There's been so many things that I wanted to say from night to night of this meeting, but Satan has fought like a roaring lion. He has really fought every way in this meeting. He has tried to fight me in every way, and even though this very night he's still doing it. But I thank God who gives us the victory over Satan. Always we triumph over Satan, because God gives us the victory. Now, I know we're like sheep that are led to the slaughter. We're killed all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But in these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and to Him that gave Himself for us. So, tonight, there's numbers of things on my heart that I hope to bring out. If I could command your attention just a little bit, and some things that I hope to say that might make things look a little brighter and open your understanding just a little bit to where you can understand better the hour that you're living in. You know, it was as they walked on the way to Emmaus with Jesus that he talked with them, and then their eyes came open. As they walked together, Jesus, just like me, a man, and just like some of you out there, a man, walking along with other men, there as he talked with them, the Bible said that he opened their understanding. What we need tonight is to get our understanding open. Paul tells us in his writing that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. I emphasize this because it appears to me that the thing that's missing in the church is the spirit of revelation. Now, I don't see other things missing in the church maybe as much as I do the spirit of revelation. I believe that we need the spirit of revelation. I believe that we need our understanding open. I believe that we should seek God until God opens our understanding. The Bible said as he walked with them on the way to Emmaus, that there as he talked with them, that he opened their understanding. And then when he got down to the end of the trail, as he departed from them and they recognized that God had been in their midst, they said one to another, said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way?" Did not our hearts burn within us? You know, you can't talk to God without your heart burning within you. If I talk to you tonight and God speaks from your temple to my heart will burn within me. Wherever God speaks, the heart of man will burn. Because their heart burned within them as he opened the scriptures as they walked along together on the way to Emmaus. Now, Jesus, chapter 24 of Matthew, he sat there, and there on the Mount of Olives, there Jesus talked with his disciples. He knew that he was fixing to leave, knew that he was going away. And so he said to them, he said, "There is going to come a very sad time." And the disciples begin to ask Jesus questions concerning this great crisis that he kept talking about. And they said, "Lord," said, "would you tell us something about this great crisis?" And he said, "There will come a sad time." He said, "There'll come a day when they'll deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. There will come a time when the heavens will be dark with the fury of God. And there'll come a time when the very stars of heaven shall fall from their orbit. There will come a time when the moon shall turn to blood. And there will come a time when the sun shall shine no more. She shall refuse to give her light. And there will come a sad day," Jesus said. He said, "When you think about this time, think about this hour. Don't premeditate. Don't try to figure out what you're going to say." He said, "For in the hour of the persecution that God himself shall present himself and speak from within you to your adversaries. And it shall not be you speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaking from within you." And so then he told him, he said, "I'll have to go away and leave you. But if I go away," he said, "I will come again unto you. For I will send unto you a comforter that might comfort you in the time of my absence." Jesus, a man, like I'm a man. Jesus, walking along with them, he said, "I am a consolation to you." And tonight, the preacher is a consolation to you. As long as you know that he's a true preacher, he's a consolation to you. Because if he is a true man of God, he is in touch with heaven, and he's in touch with the royal throne. Hallelujah. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I can be your brother tonight. And I can walk along with you as Jesus did. And I can be your comrade in faith tonight. And I can take your hand and we can walk along together. But brother, there is something that is more satisfying than taking a person's hand and walking along with somebody that's acquainted with God. But there is something that Jesus saw much greater than his fleshly being as it walked in this world. He said, I walk with you as a brother. But there is a spiritual power that comes from God. There is something that God will send to you. Something that's holy, just, and righteous that God will send to you that will be closer than a brother. He will be a comforter. He will comfort you in the time of need. He will be a comforter to you. And he not only shall walk with you, but he shall be in you. And this is the secret of the gospel, Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ within you tonight, you don't have eternal life. If you don't have Christ within you tonight, you're not resurrected from the dead. You're still dead in the presence of God, still cut off from God, still wandering in the rims of darkness out there. Until the day the Holy Ghost comes into your heart, you're cut off out there. Now you say, but Brother Pike, I believe, but that's not good enough. See, it's not just good enough to believe. The Bible said, unless you have His Spirit, you're none of His. You can believe all you want to. You can belong to a church if you want to. But, brother, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got to have God's Spirit. There's only one Spirit that ever came up from the grave and the power of resurrection on its own accord. That was the Holy Ghost. And unless you have the power that can resurrect your body, then you are not of those that are resurrected. So then Jesus talked with them. And Jesus told him, said, it's a sad time. I'm going away, and it's a sad time. He said, but I'll return to you. If I go, he said, I'll send the comforter. And said, the comforter, he'll return, and he'll come back. And he won't just be with you, but said he will be in you. He will comfort you. You know, the Spirit will comfort you. I've had problems in my lifetime that I couldn't cope with. I've had things I didn't know what to do with. But I'd turn and I'd pray and I'd talk to God. My wife couldn't console me. My friends couldn't console me. Nobody could help me. And I'd steal away in prayer and I'd talk to God. And after talking to God, there'd be something that would happen in my heart. And a great consolation would come forth. A great understanding would reveal itself to me. And all of a sudden I felt the superior strength. I felt something coming from my innermost being that I've never experienced before. And it became a great consolation, a great comfort, a great strength, a great power that made me to know that God was present with me in the time of my temptation and in the time of my need. The 19th chapter of Acts, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? It was evident that those people were believers, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I ask you the question tonight, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Down at Cornelius's, as Peter went down there, it was evident that Cornelius was a believer. He had fasted so much he touched God. He had fasted and prayed and given alms so much that it had come up as a memorial before God. But then when Peter went down there, he wanted to know what he had to do to be saved. He wanted to know what he had to do to get right with God. And the Bible said as Peter spake to him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. Many times I've been preaching the gospel and the Spirit of God would move and I'd feel the Holy Ghost begin to fall on the people. When faith begins to rise, the Holy Ghost begins to come down as the latter rain upon the church. And so then as Peter preached the gospel, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Bible said one of them raised up and said, here's water. And Peter said, you have received the Holy Ghost like I've received the Holy Ghost. Said, seeing that God is no respect to person having given it to the Gentiles, just like he has to us. He said, then here is water. Who can forbid that these be baptized? And the Bible said they were baptized, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. You know, there's one thing we need to know, that just getting baptized isn't sufficient. There is a right way to be baptized. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, why do you say there's a right way to be baptized? Because there is a right way. Now then, if just any old way of being baptized will do, then the question is why did Paul rebaptize them in the 19th chapter of Acts? The Bible said they've been baptized under John's baptism, been baptized in the same place that Christ had been baptized in. They are the very same place where John did his baptizing in the River Jordan. They had been baptized in the very spot, perhaps, where Christ had been baptized, by the same man that had baptized Jesus. But Paul said that's not enough. Salvation's not in baptism. Salvation's not in the water. Salvation is in the name Jesus. That's why we're baptized, is we're baptized for the dead. You say, Brother Pike, a lot of people don't have time to get out and be baptized. You know, the dentist is busy and the doctor's busy and the president's busy. And the big shots don't have time to get out and be baptized. But I tell you that if God up in heaven left his throne and stepped down off of his throne and took time to make a human body and become a man and go down to a muddy river to be baptized, you better believe that doctor's going to be baptized, that dentist is going to be baptized, those businessmen are going to be baptized, and the president's going to take time to be baptized or God's going to reject him. Here's our example, and we should follow in his steps. So then salvation is in the name Jesus. There's none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the name Jesus. There's salvation in none other name. It must be the name of Jesus Christ. There's but one that ever resurrected from the dead on his own accord. That's Jesus Christ. If I am to be resurrected from the dead, I must lose my identity. I must be buried with him in baptism. And I must be resurrected from the dead and come up in the name Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So then, this is a great salvation. They had confidence in that name. They had confidence in Jesus as he sat there in Matthew 24 and he said, I go away. I go away, but I'm going to send somebody to watch after you. I'm going away. And they said, Lord, we know that you're coming back, but what's going to be the sign of your coming? And then Jesus told them, he said, the stars will fall from heaven. He said, the heavens will break open as a scroll. He said, all of these great things ye shall see. And then perplexity of nations, nations against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The gospel having been preached in all the world for a witness. He said, and then shall the end come. He said, when you see all of these things, he said, then after this, in this generation, the whole thing will close out. And he said, this generation that sees these things come to pass, of which I speak, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Folks, we're the generation that's seeing those things come to pass. This is the generation that's seeing what Jesus said would come to pass. And if this is the generation that's seeing what Jesus said would come to pass, that means that this generation won't pass away until everything be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So then it is a sad time. It is a very sad time. And Jesus said, I say unto you, that this generation that sees these things come to pass, it shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And so then all is being fulfilled. Every jot in every tittle in the gospel is going into all the world for a witness. Everywhere men are preaching the gospel, they're lifting up their voices to Jesus and they're testifying of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We went into Sweden and into the land of the midnight sun. They were lifting up their voices to tell about Jesus in expectation of a great revival. Wherever we go into the islands, they're in expectation of the coming of the Lord. Here in the great United States, they're expecting the Lord to come. In Canada and Mexico, they're looking for the coming of the Lord. Everybody's got their eyes on heaven because the Bible said, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And God's turning their eyes toward heaven. If it's nothing but the galaxies, if it's nothing but the going to the moon, if it's nothing but studying the stars, everybody is turning their eyes upward because the sign of the Son of Man is about to appear in the heavens. Hallelujah. Now, this is a sad hour. Communists is flying their flag in Washington. Never before in the history of our nation that I know of, or have ever read of, has there been a communist flag to go up in Washington. We're living in what we refer to as the days of the 10 toes. It's the days when the iron and the clay is trying to mix. When people who are religious are trying to mix with people who are not religious. People who are godly are trying to
walk along beside people who are not godly. But light and darkness have no fellowship. There's no way that you can put light and darkness together. There's no way that you can mix capitalism and communism. There's no way that the world will line up in a world peace under one man as a leader. Jimmy Carter is trying to reach out to become a world leader, but it'll never be under Jimmy Carter or any other man. There is but one man that's ordained for world leadership. That's the man Christ Jesus. Now when we see the world peace, where they're trying to obtain world peace, and we see all these great leaders coming together, it makes us think about what we refer to as the parade of the planets. The planets coming together, these planets point to these great leaders. These great leaders like Jimmy Carter, and the great leaders like is in Israel and in Russia and in Germany and the different places. The planets, they're typical because they're the great governing bodies of the heavens and of the galaxies. They're the great controlling factors of the heavens. And these planets lining up indicate that these great leaders will try to come to a world peace. They say they line up about every 179 years. But in the fashion that they're to line up this time, it's different. By the year of 82, they say that they will be fully in line. They're already lining up. Ever since the year of about 50, they've been lining up. And ever since they started lining up, there's been earthquakes. There's been turmoils. There's been problems. All kinds of things have taken place from the time that they started lining up. Anytime you try to line up world leaders, you got problems. Anytime you try to mix darkness with light, you got problems. Anytime you try to make a non-religious people come together with a religious people, you got problems. And ever since they've started lining up, those great planets to start lining up, something's been taking place. Something's been happening. And science has predicted by the year of 82 that these things will fully be in line. Everything will be in line on one side of the sun. And when they come together, scientists say that it's going to cause such a terrible turmoil in the heavens and such a restlessness in the heavens until they're expecting a major catastrophe to strike the earth. Now, they say that when these planets line up, that it will increase the magnetic force of the sun in such a great way that it will cause a storm of sunburst. It will cause things to begin to happen to the sun in such a magnetic way that it will affect the earth such as it never has before. They say that it will affect the ionosphere, which in return will affect the atmosphere of the earth and cause the wind to change its course. Like when we spoke about the earthquake way back over in Mississippi years ago, spoke about an earthquake. There, when that earthquake hit, it changed the course of the Mississippi River. As far as I know, the course of the Mississippi River had never been changed. But we was watching some revelation, and I said, God, all we need now is one earthquake. I said, if that earthquake strikes, that'll do the job. And that earthquake struck, and when it did, it shook the areas where we was at and changed the course of the Mississippi River. And they say this great move out there in the galaxies is going to affect Earth, and it's going to change the course of the wind. And they say when it changes the course of the wind, it's going to affect the atmosphere and going to affect the rain that comes in the earth, and it's going to cause a great drought to strike the earth, such as the world has never known. Even at this present time, perhaps as many as 28 nations or more right now around the globe is suffering from drought, suffering from starvation. And scientists predict from 75 over to about 85, that there'll be at least a billion people that will perish or starve from the lack of food. So then we're in a crisis. I looked in a vision, and I saw in this great vision where the waters was held back. And I saw the earth turn into a great powder. And I heard a voice as it began to speak to my heart. And it said, it's too late to write a book. Said it's too late to preach the gospel. Said it's too late to do anything. The Spirit of God is lifting from the earth. And I saw everything as it turned into powder. And it was a horrible feeling. And I was tore up so bad for many days I wouldn't even tell my wife. There was weeks that I never even breathed it to my wife. Daniel said he saw a vision and he was sick for many days. It tore me up so much that I didn't even as much as tell my wife. And since that time, the drought has set in, and the papers has carried it, said that the earth is turning into powder. So then there's something that's taking place. There's something that's happening. And that means that we've got to rise up because our redemption is drawing nigh. I wish tonight I could preach to you on the redemption of the body. I hope before this meeting is over, at least out of the next 2 days, that I'll be able to say something about the redemption of your body. The Bible teaches that we're waiting for the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Now then, in seeing these great planets, as they begin to line up, what does this mean to us? In affecting the ionosphere and the atmosphere of the earth, in bringing about the drought, in causing the great sunspots, in the great magnetic pull that will affect the earth, what does this mean to us? When we consider these things, we think about the book of Revelation. We think about the things that John said would happen in the revelation of Jesus Christ as he saw these things. We think about Isaiah. We think about the prophecy of Joel. We think about the book of Ezekiel. And we think about these divine prophecies that these great prophetic utterances brought forth in their day concerning the end time. And we know by these prophecies and by scientific predictions that God is striking the thing, as we say, right on the money. You look at it, Ezekiel speaks of it. Ezekiel speaks of the great floods that will strike, the great earthquakes that will take place. And then when Isaiah speaks of it, Isaiah speaks of the sun. It becomes 7 times brighter than it's ever become before. And the prophet spoke. He said, there will come a time when the moon shall be as the sun. And they say that the effects that the parade of the planets is going to have on the earth, it will cause our sun, which is a medium star, to light up 7 times what it is. They say that it will burn so brightly until the daylight will be sevenfold to what it is at this point. And the Bible speaks of the heat being so severe that they were scorched with burning heat. It speaks of the talents of the hail that came down as much as 100 pounds coming down upon the people. With the change of the wind, the stride of the wind, and the change of the conditions of the weather, it's bound to affect the heavens. In the day of Joshua, the Bible said, God, He from heaven threw great hailstones down upon the people because they rejected the word of God. In another place in the Bible, it speaks of Christ coming back, said He will come back and utterly destroy the sinners because they have rejected Christ. Now, in the lining up of these planets, as we see these great things taking place, we are made to tremble and to shake in the sense of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But in having fear of the calamities of the world, we have no fear because we know that Christ is for us and we know that everything is well with us. He said, when you see all of these things in the book of Matthew, He said to His disciples, when you see all of these things, He said, be not troubled. Be not troubled. There will be perplexity of nations. There will be kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquakes. We've had more earthquakes in the last century, according to science, than we've ever had in the history of the world at any other time. Just in the last century. Now then, scientists have been of the opinion that this sun that we have around our planet here would last at least 8 million years. They have stated that it would last at least 8 million years because it's only used half of the hydrogen and therefore it's still capable of going on 8 million years. But all of a sudden, a close examination made them change their mind. And now they have learned that when a star or a sun, that is, when it loses half of its hydrogen, that at that condition, it automatically goes into what they call a nova. It begins to heat up 7 to 14 times what it ordinarily would be. If it's a big star, it explodes and goes all to pieces because it has what they call a supernova. But inasmuch as our sun is a medium star, they say that when it happens, it will turn dark. It goes into a nova, which means it loses its light. It will turn black. It will turn dark. And all of the light will go out. That's what the prophet said. He said, and the heavens turned dark at Calvary. When God smote Christ there on Calvary, the heavens turned black as sackcloth of hair. In the opening of the sixth seal, the Bible said the heavens rolled back. And it said that the sun turned as black as sackcloth of hair. See the darkness, the light withdrawing, God shining no more. The great day star taken out of our presence and left in this world of inner darkness. Down in Egypt it was so dark. The Bible said it was so dark that they could feel the darkness. You know, you can get away into the evils of Satan. Get away from the glories of God. Get away from the presence of the great light. And the darkness will get so dense until you can feel that darkness. You can feel it on your nerve system. You can feel the weight of it. You can feel the pressure of it. And it'll drive you out of your mind if you can't get to the light. Somebody say hallelujah. Alright. So then it's a sad time. Communists in Washington, iron and clay can't mix. The planets are lining up. What is going to happen? Let's look at it a little more. Scientists have learned that our sun, which they refer to as a star, that this sun has already used up half of its hydrogen. Now, they say because of the sunspots and the sun flares that we're already having them. And they say because of this, that our sun is right now at a point of going into what they refer to as the nova. Said when it does, everything will go into obscure darkness. Everything will turn black. And said right now we're on the verge of a great calamity that's about to strike the world in that our sunlight is fixing to give out on us. This agrees with what the words of the prophet said. And the day shall be black. The heavens shall be black, he said. In that day, it will be a day of darkness, a horrible time. In the day of the coming of the Lord, said it shall be a terrible day. And he commanded us in his word, he said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. I tell you again, the church world has the feeling that they're going to slip out and nothing's going to happen to them. Preachers have rocked them to sleep with the idea that they're going to go in a rapture and be caught away from here and go through no persecutions and no problems until they're hard and fast asleep. The Bible said at the midnight cry, they all were asleep. The preachers has rocked them asleep. They've got them away from the mind of Christ, away from the Word of God. They've told them fables and ideas. Instead of preaching the word and for the doctrine of Christ, they've taught them commandments of men. I've made the statement before. There is no such word as rapture in the Bible. When people talk to you about rapture, that's an intellectual application in what they've termed it to be. Somebody would say, well, it doesn't make any difference, Brother Pike. If the intellectual application fits, that's all right. But my brother, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. If the word rapture fit, I'd say keep it. But it doesn't fit. Why doesn't it fit? Because the Bible tells us that we are changed from glory to glory, from light to light, from faith to faith. That means this thing is a proportional thing that we must mature in till Christ be formed within you. So it means that we must do something. We can't sit idly by and say, Lord, we've given our heart to God and we're on our way to heaven and we don't have anything to worry about. Sit idly by. The church has rocked the people to sleep. They've gotten into a condition to where all they can think of is fine automobiles, nice homes, and making money and security. Come on now. The Bible said it's no time to build houses. It's no time to plant vineyards. Come on. Hallelujah. It's time to do something for God. Somebody said it's not time to build the house of God, but you say it's time to build your house. Every man runs to his own house and lets the house of God lay waste. Brother, what we need to do is wake up. We need to shake ourselves. We need to share ourselves. It's no time to try to make yourself a reputation. It's no time to try to get money. It's no time to build houses and plant vineyards. But it's time to worship God. It's time to pray. It's time to fast and get on our knees before God and lay in the altars all night and call upon Christ. All right, let's look at it. A sad time. This is a sad day. Communist is now in our beloved nation. You say, Brother Pike, do you think America is a beloved nation? She is one of the sweetest nations in all the world. You just have to go out of America and be in the other nations for a while and you'll see. It's a glorious nation. Even with all of her spots and blemishes, she's still a glorious nation. But my brothers and sisters, she is going down. She is going down. Her corruption is taking her down. The Bible said righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When you start sinning, that is a reproach unto you. But righteousness will exalt your nation, and righteousness will lift you up, and righteousness will make you great in the sight of God. Look at those planets. What does it spell for us? Much trouble. Much trouble. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Now let's look at it just a little bit from a revelational side of it. When God placed man in the Garden of Eden, He put him there. Man was upright. Man knew how to conduct himself. Man was pure. Man could communicate with God. They got along together. They had precious fellowship together. But one day, man lent to his own understanding. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Word. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Walk by faith. If the Word says it, walk by faith. Man walked by faith with God. They walked together in the garden. They were getting along fine. Man had all the comforts of life, had all the conveniences. He was happy. God was happy because they were all together. The family of God, all together. But after a while, that came another mind in. You know, when you got two minds, you got a freak. How many know that? You know, in the home, you can't have two minds. The Bible teaches the man is the head of the house. You've got to listen to him and he's got to listen to God. If the man has got a mind of his own and the woman's got a mind of her own and they've come together on a 50-50 agreement, then you've got a freak. You've got a divided kingdom. God doesn't do things like that. God hasn't made a 50-50 deal with the church. God's commanded the church to obey Him and to honor Him, to conform to the image of Christ. And so it is with the lady of the house. If she doesn't love the man, she ought not marry him. If she marries him, she ought to conform to his image and love him with all of her heart. Now, in the garden, they walked together, looking at it from a revelational aspect. They walked together. They got along real good. Everything was fine. But after a while, another voice began to speak. Another mind began to intervene. And something began to say, Eve. And Eve began to take notice. And it began to say, look at the beautiful fruits of the trees of the garden. Eve said, I admire the fruits that we can eat of any of them. Then she said, but one of the tree of knowledge we cannot partake of that tree. We are forbidden of God to partake of that tree. And the old serpent said, the only reason that God has forbidden you to do it is because He wants to be the chief. He wants to be the Lord. He wants to be the big wheel, as the world says. He wants to lord over you, keep you to where you don't know anything. Then He'd say, look at me and see what I know. See, and He'd say, I'm not like you and Adam. I don't have to do what He said do. See, I know more about it than you do. and said, God knows the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. He didn't have it wrong, did he? He didn't have it wrong. Satan quoted the scripture to Jesus, quoted it verbatim. See, it wasn't wrong. It was exactly like he said. Ye shall become as gods, see, knowing good and evil. But there's a step beyond that. Jesus said, if you'll just eat of the tree of life, you don't have to become as a god. I'll make you God. Hallelujah. I've called you gods, Jesus said. You don't have to be as a god. You can be God. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He'll tabernacle in you, walk in you. You can be the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, said, then ye shall be all wise. And so then they ate. And then as I brought it out concerning the covenant the other night, how the water covenant was broken, I can't bring that out tonight because I want to bring out a different thought here for just a little bit. But they begin to clothe themselves with the aprons to try to hide their nakedness. Now, all of a sudden, God came looking for them. And they were undone. They were hid. They were out of the Shekinah glory of God. They got away from God's presence. The Lord said, Adam, where art thou? I can't find you. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't you know that God knew where they were? God knows all things. Don't you know that God could look over there and see them? But the Bible said that God cannot look upon iniquity. God cannot see iniquity. So then God said, Adam, you're lost off from me. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? Like Joseph going down into the heart of the earth in prison to get a testimony for Pharaoh. So God sent Jesus down into the dark pits of this world, into the dark prison of this world. And God said, Son, go down there and get a report and let me know about it. He said, I can't come down there and look around. I can't go down and look around. Somebody would say, why? I made the statement the other night, if God, the great light, come into this world, there wouldn't be no more world. If God come down here to look around, there wouldn't be no more you and I. There wouldn't be no more world. Because the Bible said after the millennium that John looked and saw the Ancient of Days coming, and the Bible said as he appeared, the heavens passed away, the earth passed away. I tell you, God's got some angels walking around today, and they're considering the situation, and they're sending a report back to heaven to let God know what's going on down here, and the situation is not good. God's not pleased with what's going down here. Now you say, Brother Pike, what makes you think angels is coming? The Bible said, I will send my angels in the end of the world. And brother, this is the end of the world. It's the end of the world. Matthews, what does it say in Matthews? It said, and these things shall be in the end of the world. And so then we're in the end of the world. These things are happening, and the angels of God are beginning to walk around down here in this world. It's the end of the world. And angels are beginning to walk around. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. Why be careful how you entertain strangers? Because sometimes a stranger is an angel. Sometimes angels look like strangers. Sometimes it's just a man coming to your door. Sometimes it might just be a woman coming to your door. But be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. Came to Abraham's tent. Just a man. Sat down and eat with Abraham. Washed their feet, cooled their hot, blistering feet with the water. But they were angels. They went down and spent the night with Lot. Wouldn't that be something to have an angel come over to your house and spend the night? Somebody would say, my God, Brother Pike, if I had an angel to come over to my house and spend the night, I don't know what I'd do. I got something to tell you tonight. There's some sons of God that's far greater than angels, and sometimes they drop in on you too. So you better be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained sons of God unaware. All right, so then there is something that's taking place. There's something great and mighty that's taking place. Look at Adam and Eve. I ain't going to hold you much longer, but just hold on for just a little bit. All right, look at Adam and Eve. Here they are upright in the garden. Everything's upright. I just want to get a better look at those planets. Everything's upright. Here it is in the garden. Everything is upright. Everything's getting along real good. But all of a sudden, a part of the creation of God becomes tilted on its axis. You follow me? Here, woman is part of man, and man becomes tilted on his axis. God made him upright. A natural world, a physical world, a spiritual world, and here is a physical world of humanity getting tilted on the axis. Every time there's something that happens to the physical, it must happen to the natural. If it happens to the natural, it must happen to the spiritual. And so when man got tilted on his axis, he was no longer upright. Therefore, God had to take the entire earth and cause some great convulsion to take place to tilt it on its axis, that the allegoric understanding and knowledge of God and the earth would coincide to where there wouldn't be a confusion. But still, that wasn't enough. If a third part of the family was tilted on its axis, if there's a man and woman and then the children, and if a third part of that family was tilted on its axis, God, Adam, and Eve, then there's something that had to happen up yonder in the spiritual world. What was it? A third part of the spiritual world had to be tilted on its axis. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then come the Son to be tilted on the axis. He came down here in this world and was made sin, made like unto sinful man, to show that a third part of the heaven was tilted on its axis. That is to say that Lucifer had climbed up into the upper level, that Satan had got up into the upper level and was there in the presence of God. I wish we had time to go into Revelation tonight. We just don't have time to get in it, to it every night. We get up to it, and we work ourselves up to it, and then we have to quit. One of these nights we'll have to do like Paul. Paul worked himself up to it and preached all night to get it done. Now, say, well, I never find Peter doing that. It doesn't say anything about Peter having the revelation of Jesus Christ. It said Paul had it. Paul had a lot to say. All right. So then, we see that something took place that bears out with the book of Revelation that's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said a third part of the stars fell from heaven. A third part of the trees was smitten. A third part of the sun was smitten. See, the great light, God, the Godhead, the great light, a third part of it was smitten. We esteemed Jesus smitten of God. And the heavens turned dark. God smote him at Calvary to free you and I. You follow me? Now, in this, the world is tilted. The world is tilted. Scientists say there used to be a great layer of water in the heavens, whereas the Bible bears it out, because the Bible said a great firmament in the heaven that divided the waters from the waters. And there was waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. Now, they say there was a great, great bed of water in the elements, in the heavens, that reached from the North Pole to the South Pole. And said as long as it was there, said it kept the world upright. But during the great deluge of Noah, apparently, when all the water came down, when the rain started, something took place. And they say at about 23 degrees that the earth is tilted on its axis because this great water level was moved. But you know, according to the Bible, in 82, if scientists is right, something is shaping up to take place in a master catastrophe. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that if this thing is happening the way that scientists say that it's taking place, then the sun is ready to go into a nova. That means that the gospel light of the world is about to go out. It means that that great light is about to go out. What does it do just before it goes out? It magnifies itself into the revelation of Jesus Christ seven times what it was through the church ages. Every church age messenger brought a message. Every one of them brought a message until seven of them had come down through the church ages. But then at the church age, Every bit of that was balled up into one, and it became a man-child, and the Son became sevenfold. And the gospel is to magnify itself in such a great way that with the brightness of the coming of the Son of God, He's destroyed the image, the perversion, and the perverted image of Satan in translating our bodies and our beings into a raptured state to take them away yonder into the heavens. I say rapture state for your consolation. Now, so then, if the galaxies is beginning to get into that kind of condition, and I'm going to try to find a place to close here because I got a lot to say. Jesus said some are dull of hearing. If those planets are lining up, if that is the parade of the planets, everything is coinciding together. Everything is taking place. See, this tent being here is a great revelation. This tent being here has to do with a great revelation. I could preach for another month just on some present day truths of the revelation of Jesus. Because Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Man should have spent his life searching for the mysteries of God. Instead of going to school and college and making money and doing all the things of the world, he should have been seeking after the knowledge of God. The Bible said there will come a time when the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens, shall fill the earth, shall fill the sea. You say, Brother Pike, how could that ever be? Because one of these days everything's going to unveil itself. Everything is going to unveil itself, and we're going to see everything from the little old chigger on the ground to the star in the heaven to that little whatever he might be in the bottom of the ocean over there. We're going to see that he was put there for a specific purpose to represent a spiritual thing. And when God unveils it, we're going to see everything in all of creation testifying to the glory of God. The Bible said the heavens declare His handiwork. Even the heavens, He's not left us without a witness, for even the heavens declare His handiwork. So then, man is tilted on his axis, and we're going to have to jump a long ways here just to bring out a thought and miss all the in-between. A sandwich is a lot better if you can carry all the fillings, you know. But we're going to jump over here and see if we can get just a little bit to tie this thing together where it won't be left in a state of confusion. John, in the book of Revelation, he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did he do? He said there was great things that started taking place. He said there was great earthquakes. The earth began to quiver and the earth began to tremble. He said the heavens turned black and the stars fell from heaven. He saw an eruption in the earth, and as she went into a convulsion, he said, I saw the mountains moved out of their places. I saw the islands moved out of their places. He said, I looked and beheld. He said, and I saw the cities of the world crumble to the ground. I saw places like New York. I saw places like Los Angeles. I saw these cities literally crumble to the ground as the earth began to shake in a great convulsion. You know, in California right now, there's one great fault line just waiting for one good kick, so to speak, and she'll just bust all to pieces. You know, Brother Branham, a great prophet of our day, spoke of the city of Los Angeles crumbling and falling into the water. And everything's just right there in that fault line for it to happen right now. And so then something is taking place. John, he looked and he saw this great revelation. As he saw this great vision of revelation, he beheld it and he said, I saw this thing happen. Now, to me, here's what I believe took place. I believe that when the earth got tilted on its axis, that those great mountains and islands that was up went down. I believe they went down beneath the water. And I believe other mountains came up and other lands came up and they became the land that we call our Mother Earth. And I believe, and this is my conviction, I believe that when the church is raptured and the tribulation sets in, something's going to happen. You say, what's going to happen, Brother Pike? All of a sudden, man's going to get faith in God. The minister's going to bring him to a sure faith. He's going to believe he's without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. All of a sudden, he's coming back up on his axis right. He's going to talk right, walk right, be right, and believe in God. And when he does, that old natural earth is going to coincide, and Mother Earth is going to shake and reel and rock like a junk man, and she's coming back up to her rightful position. And these islands we see now will be moved out of the places, and the mountains we see now will be moved out of the places, and those islands that's down beneath the sea, those mountains that's down beneath the sea, all of a sudden they'll come up out of that water. And I believe that that's what John saw as that great earthquake took place. And I believe the heavens is going to shake. He said in the days of Moses when he shook the mountain, saying once again, not only shall I shake earth, but I shall shake the heavens till the stars fall. And I believe God's going to shake the heavens. Oh, Lucifer's going to fall out. All the dignitaries is going to fall out. All the hypocrites is going to fall out. And God's going to shake it until the reflectors fall out of the socket. And God's going to leave those lights up there. And God's going to shake the heavens. And all of a sudden the heavens is coming upright. And the Son of God, which was made sin for me, He'll stand upright as the King of kings and the Lord of lords to rule the earth with a rod of iron. I believe when she straightens up, when she comes to the forefront, she's going to blossom like a rose. Hallelujah! Man that used to live 700, 800 years didn't die. All of a sudden, that same thing's going to happen. That food's going to be good to eat. All of this poison's going to be gone. All the radioactive fallout's going to be gone. The earth is going to turn into the millennium. And man's going to live 1,000 years. 1,000 years just in this natural world. I'll live 1,000 years. Of course, I'm glad that we're passing that. We're going on beyond that. Before the tribulation ever starts, we're going to be changed and become eternal and live throughout the endless ages. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. Tomorrow night and Sunday night, if the Lord is willing, I'm going to try to devote those two nights to praying for the sick. Try my best to pray for the sick. If somebody that's sick, somebody that needs healing, I'll pray earnestly and sincerely for them, and I believe God will heal them. You bring them, pray with me, and believe with me, and I believe that God will do something for us. I believe that we're in the end of the world. I believe that this is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing this little chorus together. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. I need Thee, I need Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need Thee. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, I want Thee. I want Thee every hour. I want Thee. I want Thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I want Thee. Sing it with me like this. Oh, don't turn Him away. Oh, don't turn Him away.